Well, what's going on, Revolution? Good morning. Yeah, you can put your hands together if you're excited to be here. All right. My name is Nathan. Alyssa did a great job, but I got a little bad news for you. This week on Thursday, my life group is doing it, and we are the fastest. We are strongest. We can tie well, so we're going to shatter your time. But hey, that's a great, that's a great thing that the church does, and if you want to be part of it, let us know. We're in the middle of this series called One Heart. And if you haven't been with us, well, welcome. Again, my name is Nathan, and you can kind of find the first 2 weeks on YouTube or on, podcast. But this series is all about the idea of where are we going or who are we, what are we trying to be? What is our goal? What are we trying to accomplish? And so we call it One Heart because we want to be a community. We don't get everything perfect. We get things wrong at times, but what we want to get right is a community of one heart trying to do exactly what God has called us to do as a church and reach as many people as possible. So it's called One Heart. And today we're going to continue kind of the direction of talking about this culture, but next week gets fun. So come back next week because then we start to talk about you as individuals, and everybody loves to talk about themselves. So come back next week. We'll start that. But today I have a really important task that I need you to do. I need you to think real hard for a second. I know it's 11:23. It's a little early, but think. I want you to think of the greatest team, duo, band, couple, or group of people of all time. So go ahead and come up with a list in your mind. Everybody got some thoughts? All right. I'm going to share some thoughts with you, some ideas here. This is not like my list because this list will look a little bit different, but I tried to create a list that hopefully would appeal to everybody in some way. And so the first group on the list is, I'll be honest, I'm not real familiar with them, but most people are. Princess Leia and Han Solo. Anybody like this group? Okay. All right. I let Nate Scott pick the pictures, and this one he put first, so he must like this duo. Okay, here is one of my favorite duos, The Office. Any Office fans out here? Michael Scott, come on. Michael Scott is the boss I inspire to be someday, right? Michael Scott and Jim and Dwight, one of the greatest TV shows of all time. Maybe you don't like sports, though. Maybe you don't like TV. Maybe you don't like music. Hopefully this relates to you in some capacity. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, right? Chocolate and peanut butter, that's pretty good combination here. Okay, so some of you Hoosier fans, how about this? The 1976 Indiana Hoosiers, anybody? Okay. 1976, I'll remind you, was a long, long time ago, but 1976, undefeated basketball team, arguably one of the greatest basketball teams of all time, by some people's arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time, right? So that team. And then we're going to skip this one real quick, but I'll get to it, okay? Michael and Scotty, come on, raise your, yeah. Okay, and then my favorite duo of all time, you know where this is going, you just had, who's he going to pick? LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. Oh, he skipped it, oh, I got to go back. God must be telling me to skip it. Here we go, all right, it's on there, all right, dramatic effect. Hey, this is one of the greatest sports photos of all time, and in my mind, I would be in this picture if I didn't hurt my knee, but that's a long story for another time. Well, let's just let this picture sit here for a second. Man, look at it, right? All the great teams, all the great bands, all the great duos that you can think of, there's one thing that is the reality about them, that they're all better together. Like, don't even get me started on Michael without Scotty, okay? Like, that's a long debate. But all these teams were better together, right? LeBron's not the same without his team. Michael's not the same without his team. The Indiana Hoosiers aren't the same without their team. The Office isn't the same without Michael Scott. You take him out of there, it's not as good, right? All these teams have this reality that they're better together. And so what we're going to call today's talk is this. We is better than me. Say that with me. We is better than me. Good. All right, that's really good. You got energy today. So one of the things that Revolution has kind of built this idea on is that we're better together. And I love that we is better than me. We can do more as a group, as a community, than we can do apart. We can go faster and stronger. We can do more together than we can apart. And I don't think of anything has proved that to be more true in my life than the year 2020. Anybody remember that year? Just a couple things happened, right? So I want you to go back. Like right now, we can admit, like that wasn't that like a bad Netflix documentary? Like it was really bad. It was a hard year, but I want you to go back to March of 2020, almost, can you believe it, almost 3 years ago, and I want you to think about those first 2 weeks, like we're locked down for the very first time. You remember that? All right, at that time, some of you thrived. You're like, I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't have to connect with anybody. I can work from home. I don't even have to put pants on. Like, this is awesome. I can do this. How many of you love that, just that, like, that time, right? Some of you. And then there are people like me. I did not thrive. I barely survived, okay? I barely survived because my wife was going to kill me. But I had a hard time. You know what I did for fun? I lived in a small town. You know what I did for fun? No one wanted to hang out. Like, they're all scared. Like, no one to hang out with me. No one wanted to talk. I don't like FaceTime. So you know what I did? I walked around the block about 57 times a day for fun. Thank goodness a little documentary called Tiger King came out, or I would have been lost. Like, I was so bored. Like, at one time, like, I told Whitney, I said, hey, I'm so bored. Like, I started moving stuff around in my house and doing things and starting new hobbies, trying to fix things, which made things worse in my life. Like, it was awful. I swear my house was getting smaller day by day. Like, I was like, if it's one more day, I can't take this, Whit. Like, I'm going to go crazy. I need something to do. I just went nuts. Anybody with me on that? Like, you went nuts? All the kids in the room raised their hand. Awesome, right? Yeah, like, my ADD kicked in. I was like, I got to do something. Well, 3 years have passed since then, and if you can kind of go back to that moment, you've kind of seen this shift in culture, and I love looking at studies of human beings and kind of culture. And what they found is that that time period, really 2020, where all those shutdowns and lockdowns across the world, across the country, that they found this to be true, that we knew it, but we kind of proved it to be even more true, that isolation is not good for humans. Even if you said, hey, I'm an introvert and I don't like people, right? Some of you in this room say that. You need human connectivity. You need human interaction. They found that actually every human is hardwired with a certain need. And this need is this, that we have a need to be known. Everybody wants to be known, like really known, and to belong. Well, I find that really interesting because I don't think these things are coincidences. That God actually created us in such a way, and God backs us up in his word, but God created us to be in community. Again, you don't have to be in community with everybody, but you got to be in community. You need good human interaction in your life. This is what it says in Genesis, early on in the creation account. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Specifically man, because men in the room for a second, when we get together, we do dumb things, don't we, right? We need some other people around us, right? It's not good for man to be alone. So I will make a helper suitable for him. So if you think about creation, God is extremely relational. So God created us first to be in relationship with him, and us to be in relationship, him to be in relationship with us. It's relational. Then he created Adam and Eve to be in relationship. And then he said, have fun, be fruitful, and multiply, right? He's like, create family. And then if you look at throughout history, people are connecting. Throughout history of time, you see people clustering together in groups of people. They need to be around each other. But we live in this really weird time. There's this tension. We live in a time where we're together and connected, social media, we got like thousands of friends, but we aren't known. That there's something going on, that we live in this time where yes, we see you face to face, and I see you face to face, and we're connected. I've seen way too many pictures of you on the beach and of your new houses and your cars and all your vacations that you get to go on, and it makes me jealous. I've seen all that, but we aren't known. You know where you kind of really realize this in life? In cities. Anybody love going to the city? Some of you, right? Like three people love going to the city. Awesome. Well, I love going to the city, right? A couple years ago, I got to go to New York for the second time, and I'm like Buddy the Elf when I get there. Like, man, I'm talking to everybody. This is awesome. Like, this is amazing. Look, they got the greatest pizza and the greatest food. I love it. I just love being around people. I love the buildings. I love everything. I realize that in Home Alone 2, they lie to you. There's no way you can do all that stuff in one day. It's way too big, right? But it's amazing. I love it. But one place I love specifically is the subway. Anybody been to the subway system in New York? I love it. I love it. Last time I was there, there's this guy who was homeless, and he's like, hey, for $2, I'll get you on a subway anywhere. And I'm like, okay. Gave him $2. He opened up this gate. I don't think I was supposed to go in it. I rode the subway all day for $2. It was awesome. It was amazing, right? I love it. And on the subway, you see some of the craziest things in the world. That's why I love it, right? You never know what you're going to see, right? There'll be this guy in the corner, because there's always a guy in the corner. He may or may not have a shirt on, okay? And he's talking to himself. You just stay away from that dude. Everything else is entertaining, okay? He's talking to himself over there. And then you're sitting, but I noticed something last time I was there. The first time, was kind of before smartphones. The last time was when technology, smartphones were there, right? And so I noticed everybody on the subway, like, I'm excited to talk to these people. Like, I'm from Illinois, small town Illinois. I live in small town Indiana now. Like, tell me about the city. Everybody's just there on their phones with their headphones in. Nobody's talking. We're literally in a tube going really fast that's really small where it's designed for us to talk to each other. And no one's talking. And I'm trying to talk, and everybody's like, dude, you're like the crazy dude in the corner over there talking to himself. Like, I look just as crazy. We live in a time where we're together and connected to each other, but we aren't known. And also, there's this documentary that came out. I love this. The documentary came out, and it was kind of looking at the idea of connectivity and, like, human interaction. And here's what they found. And we put somebody on there because I don't know what their name was. I could not remember. So it's not my quote. It's originally to somebody, all right? We are finding being around other people make us feel happier. Now, I get it. Some of you are like, the reason I'm not happy is because I'm around other people. I get it, right? Maybe you need new friends or new family. Can't help you out there. But we're finding that people being around other people make us feel happier. And guess what? Guess what happens when you're happier? We're more fun to be around. Creating what? I love this idea. An upward spiral of happiness. That actually when you're around people, let's say the right people, it makes you happier. And you know what happens when you're happier? Everybody else likes being around you, and it creates this upward spiral of happiness. And when you think about your life and you think about your memories, I'm going to say some people might have memories the other way, but some of your best memories are the memories you shared with certain people, right? Right? Like the vacations, the moments, the sports teams you were on, that you're happier around other people. Now, what's really interesting, this phrase, upward spiral happiness, if you talk to people who struggle with anxiety or depression, you know what they describe that as? A downward spiral of discouragement. And sometimes for depression and anxiety, they encourage you to be around other people, to have people who are drawing or bringing something out of you. So community, I'm saying all this lets you know community matters. And someone once said this, that you might be one community away from changing the course of your life. And I really believe that to be true because that's my story. I had this weird community called Hersher Christian Church. You've never been there, you never will go there, right? But it was a community that changed my entire life. I didn't go to church. I didn't have role models that I looked up to. But this community completely changed my life. You might be one community of Jesus followers away from changing the course of your life. You might be one community away from pulling you out of addiction or substance that you're stuck with. You might be one community away from changing, get this, your family tree. You might be one community away from changing the course of your life. You never know what could happen being in the right community. The same goes for this. I believe this phrase, you are who you roll with. You might be one community away from ruining your life, right? The people you're in your circle, the people in your community, they matter. They matter. But this isn't just a good idea that I came up with. If you actually look at Jesus' ministry, if you look at throughout Scripture, you see community all over the place. We have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, right? Holy Spirit, they're a community. Jesus picked 12 disciples to hang out with. Then in the group of disciples, he picked three. And then there's the Israelites in the Old Testament, God's community. They lived in tribes of people, right? But Jesus' ministry was about creating a community. One of the things he was trying to do was create a new community. So Jesus' earthly ministry was centered around creating a new community. A new community that would look different than other communities, that could transcend the barriers of all other earthly communities. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus was trying to create a community, a very specific community with a very specific name that was going to be unlike anything that the world had ever seen or will ever see this side of heaven. So today we have to make every effort to be a community. We have to take every effort. That doesn't mean we're going to always like each other. Doesn't mean we're going to look like each other. Doesn't mean everything's good. We're going to think the same way, but we have to be a community. So I want to take you to a spot where Jesus talks about this community for the very, very first time. It's after what we talked about last week where he's talking to his disciples and he asks them, hey, who do you say I am? What are people saying about me? And this is what he said. Peter says. He's like, hey, you're the Messiah. And then Jesus responds by saying this. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. This word right here is the first time it's given a name. First time he names this community. He calls it the church. Now, I know. It's 2023, so when I say church, a lot of things come to mind. Some of you here are like, I don't like church. I'm just here because the person next to me made me come here. If that's the reason you're here, welcome, right? I'm glad you're here. Some of you are here, and you're like, hey, I can't stand it. I don't want anything to do with it. That's right. And then some of you are like, hey, I love the church. You love it so much that you make it hard for other people because you have all the right opinions of what church should look like, right? What people should dress like, what people should sing. You love it. You have an opinion about it. But when you hear the word church, for so many people, something comes to mind. But Jesus says, my community is called the church. So I want to address this. For anybody in the room, I want to tell you what type of community we are. First, I'll bring this to the table. We are not a perfect community. We're not a perfect team. There's no such thing. And if we were perfect, anytime I stepped into it, we would no longer be perfect because I'm not perfect. Anytime you come here, you add to the mess, right? I add to the mess. We're not perfect. We get things wrong. We mess up. We miss the mark. Sometimes we don't do what we're called to do. Sometimes we don't live like Jesus. Sometimes we don't, right? Sometimes we miss praying for people. Sometimes we miss serving people. Sometimes we miss it. And I tell people this, listen, we're not a perfect community because we're not perfect people. And we don't claim to be perfect. And I will say this, there's no other community on earth where you leave when people aren't perfect. I go to the gym. Every day I walk into the gym, I see people who are not in shape, myself included. I come back still, okay? Like, listen, I understand. Like, we're not a perfect community. But just because we're not perfect, just because you've been hurt by church, I realize sometimes we have missed the mark and things have happened. But just because we're not perfect, that Revolution isn't perfect, or the church at times isn't perfect, doesn't mean Jesus isn't. And doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't have a role for the church or a purpose for the church. You see, here's what we are. We're an imperfect community, trying to be united in one heart, doing everything we can. We know we're imperfect and we're trying our best, but we're united in one heart, pointing an imperfect world to a perfect Savior. And I believe that if there's any hope in this world, it's through Jesus. And I believe one of the ways that Jesus works through this world is through obedient, God-honoring churches. And I believe that because Jesus said this. He didn't say, I'll build a church. We're not just talking about Revolution. But I will build my church. It's His. He loves it. He has a plan for it. He has a purpose for it. And He has a purpose for us in it. And the word church in the Greek is this word ekklesia. And everybody always says, hey, it means to gather, to assemble together. It's a group of people meeting together. Not just a building, a group of people. And that's true, but that's the first two words. It comes from ek. The glesia, the root word in glesia is this word meaning to be called out. So we're not just a community that gathers. We're a called out community that lives differently. That Jesus says, hey, my community lives a certain way, looks a certain way, acts a certain way, loves a certain way, tells the truth in a certain way, treats people in a certain way. That Jesus has a plan for His community. And He says, hey, if you follow me, I want you to be part of this community. I want you to be part of my community, the ecclesia, the gathering of my people. And here's the kicker. When the community of Jesus is as it should be, it's a place where people want to be. Anybody agree with me on that? Like, when we get it right, there's no place on earth better than here. Not just Revolution, but a church. And I know from this, like, any of you grow up thinking, like, churches were weird? Anybody? Like, that was me. Like, I went to the church for the first time. I'm like, man, these people are weird. They dress weird. They're always hugging each other. I don't like hugging. Like, they're hugging each other all the time. They're talking about feelings. I don't want to talk about my feelings. I have no feelings. Like, it's weird. But, man, they love people. And they're a little weird, but they get free food. And I went. They had a basketball court, and they had church on a basketball court. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's awesome. And they got it right. For me, they got it right. And, man, it was a place where I wanted to be. It was a place I never wanted to leave. That's what's at stake. What's awesome about the early church, you know, sometimes we get it wrong, but what's awesome about the early church is it shows, we don't have to guess what type of community we're trying to be. You look at the book of Acts, there's kind of verses, and they tell you, hey, they did this and this. Well, I want to take you to the kind of key verse of the series. It says this, all the believers were one in heart and mind. What that means, they were united. Unity, they had unity. It doesn't mean uniformity. It doesn't mean we all look the same, act the same, vote the same, any of that. No. So they were all one in mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. They were this community that cared for each other. They were this community of one heart. So for the rest of our time, here's what I want to do. I want to be very, very specific. I want to talk to you. Some of you are here, and I get like, hey, I haven't. You're not part of this community. You're thinking about it. You're not thinking about it. I want to tell you, here are the things that we're gonna try to be these things. We're not going to get it right all the time, but this is what we're aiming for. For the rest of us, if you're like, hey, this is my home. This is my community. This is what I belong to. Here's the type of things we need to make sure we're getting right. Because when we get it right, and the church is a place as it should be, it's a place where people want to be. So here's where we're going to go. We're going to look at four things that create a community of one heart. The first one is this. Can't skip this. This is most important. A community that grows together. What I love about the early church is the early church devoted themselves. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship. Meaning they devoted themselves to the teaching of Jesus. They didn't have what we have, the Bible yet. They had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the Gospels or anything like that yet. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to teachings about Jesus. And they fellowshiped together. They spent life together, breaking of bread and prayer. They were devoted to making sure each other learned. So here, we're going to have fun. We're going to laugh. It should actually be a sin to make church boring, right? So if I'm doing that, I apologize, right? But it should be a sin. We're going to laugh together. We're going to have fun. We're going to come here. We're going to do a lot of crazy things. We're going to sing together. But we're also going to be devoted to growing and learning, because the more you know, the more you grow. And the more you grow, the more you become like Jesus. The more you become like Jesus, the better your life becomes, right? That's why we want to do this. So I love this word right here, devoted. Because when I think of devoted, I think of this idea of all in. I'm a coach by nature. I coached a lot of years of basketball, and so I love this idea of devotion. It's something that we always talked about when I coach. Like, we want a team that's devoted, because devotion means, hey, I care about the person next to me. I care about the person next to me. I care about the people on the other side of the room. Now, I know, here's how I know if you're all here every week. I just check where you sit, because y'all sit in the same spots basically every week, right? But you guys like each other. You're still devoted to each other, even though you're on the opposite side of the room and you always sit there. But you're devoted, and it's just this idea. It's not a one-time thing. It's this action. It's the posture. It's like, hey, I'm devoted to the people next to me. I care about the people next to me. I care about them so much, I want to help create an atmosphere where they can grow. Wherever they're at right now, I want to help them grow. And this week, I heard a story about this idea of devotion. It was about JFK. So when JFK was president and they were doing that space race, they're trying to get, I don't know why, but they were trying to become the first country to the moon, right? Crazy. Now it's kind of ironic that we're talking about it, because now they're shooting stuff out of the sky, but right, yeah, you know, but they were doing the space race back then. During the Cold War. And JFK's like, hey, we got to be the first ones to the moon. Awesome. Right? Let's rally behind it. We're going to beat the Russians and the Soviet Union to the moon. He's like, but there's a reality. We need everybody to help. He says, in a very real sense, it's not going to be one man going to the moon. It will be an entire nation. For all of us must put in the work to get them there. We all must put in work to get them to the moon. So he told America, he's like, listen, we need everybody to do this. Some years passed, and they hadn't gone to the moon yet, and he's walking around NASA, and JFK's walking around NASA, and he sees this man holding a mop. And he goes, sir, what is your job? I'm like, JFK, he's a janitor, my man. I'm like, no. He's like, what's your job? And the janitor looks at JFK. He says, hey, I'm just putting a man on the moon. I love it, because it's the idea about devotion. He's like, he was so devoted to his job. He's like, hey, even just by mopping and cleaning NASA, he's like, I am putting in work. I'm devoted to getting a man to the moon. I am getting a man to the moon. And he was committed, because devotion leads to commitment. And so when we're thinking about what kind of community we want to be, we want to be this community that is devoted to committing to helping each other grow. Because here, we come from all different walks of life. You may know a lot about Jesus, you may not know anything, but we're going to be a community. We're going to help and encourage you to grow and grow and grow. Grow in your faith. All right, so it's a community that is committed to growth. It's also a community that sharpens each other. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Proverbs. You actually, if you walk in my house, you'll see it on my wall. It says this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And it's this idea that we are better together, that we is better than me, that we make each other better, that we sharpen each other. And now here's what's interesting. When you try to sharpen iron, sometimes sparks fly And sometimes we don't like being sharpened. So sometimes we're going to not get along, but we're going to try to sharpen each other and make each other better. And what the sharpening process is, as you're sharpening a knife, what it does is it takes away kind of the junk or the mess that's making the blade dull. So it's sharpening it. But you also, if you have a knife, you can't sharpen yourself. You need someone else to sharpen you. And so this is a community where we're making each other better. I'll get personal. I grew up without a dad. And so when I was looking at, like, what does it look like to be a man, a Christian man? What does it look like to be a teenager? What does it look like to be a dad, a husband? You know who I looked to? People from HCC. They didn't know I was watching them. They didn't know. But I was like, man, one day I want to be like them. You know, and I didn't have a dad growing up. I have a stepdad now who's wonderful, who came in my life later. But when I think about, hey, how do dads interact with their kids? You know who I watch? I watch you guys. Sometimes I would say, hey, I think I got a little better than them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, right? But I watch, you know, and I try to learn. You don't know who's watching. And you don't know who, because of your influence, because of your skill set, because of your background, who you can help sharpen, who you can help get through on their journey. We want to be a community that sharpens each other, that makes each other better, that challenges each other. We're not doing it out of judgment or superiority. Like, man, I don't know how to do this or what this looks like. I don't know what this looks like. And that's why we're here to sharpen each other. So we're going to help each other grow. We're going to sharpen each other. And then we're going to be a community where we don't have to wear a mask. I think one of the sad things of the reality of culture is that maybe more now than ever in my life, we're tempted to wear masks. So we have social media, and we get this inside look at everybody's highlight reel. Because none of you guys put the bad stuff on there, do you? Right? Like, no, like, look how great it is. Like, we put all the good stuff on there. We hide the bad stuff. But then we kind of look at people's stuff, and we're like, man, I'm not as good as them. I'm not as good as looking. I'm not as talented. I'm not as smart. I don't have it going on like they do. So what we have to do is we wear a mask. You know, there's different type of masks. There's I call it the put-together mask. And you put that mask on and you go everywhere and you act like you got it all together, but you know deep down you don't have it all together, but you're trying your hardest to smile, and it's hard and it's difficult, but I got it all together, I got my mask on. Sometimes there's a marriage mask, and we're like, hey, a relationship mask, and we act like it's all going perfect and smiling, and we got the Hallmark Christmas cards, and we got the Midwest fall picture, you know, pictures, and we got the spring pictures coming up in the cornfields and all that stuff, right? You're like, we look good, we're the perfect family. But you take that mask off, there's a lot more going on. Then I think we're tempted to wear masks at church. And I think maybe you can relate to this, that, you know, churches say come as you are, but what they really mean is come as we want you to be. And so we got to wear a mask. I got to look a certain way. I got to dress a certain way. I got to act a certain way. Because, like, if I don't, will they, like, is this like Survivor? Will they vote me off the island or something? Will they kick me off? Like, will they allow me to be in? If they really find out what I struggle with or who I am, there's no way they're going to let me be it, part of the community. So we walk around wearing masks. The only problem is, one, that's not how it's supposed to be. I don't think that's how Jesus intended it to be. Listen, you can wear whatever you want here. I'm wearing a green jacket and I wear purple pants sometimes, right? You can wear whatever you want here. But we gotta. This doesn't just happen. Because it's really tempting just to fall in the mask wearing. But if we want to be a community, it's going to make a difference. We got to be a community that's vulnerable. And to be vulnerable is to be known. And to be vulnerable is one of the most difficult things in life. And to be known, though, you must be real. So there's two things that happen with this. You have to fight the temptation to put on a mask. You got to open up yourself for vulnerability, which is very difficult. But also, we have to be a community where it's okay for people to come in here and not be okay. We have to be a community where it's okay for someone to come in here and you know they may not like what you do, or they may not like church, or they may not like it. You have to create a community where it's okay where people can come in here and their life can be a mess. It doesn't just happen. We can say it happened. We got to make it happen. We got to be vulnerable, because vulnerable is to be known, but to be known, you got to be real. We got to take off the mask. It's hard. It's difficult, but we got to be a community that laughs together, that worships together, that cries together, that's there in the good times and the bad times. I love what Proverbs says. It says friend here, but it can also be community. A community loves at all times. A real community loves at all times. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. Real communities and real friends and real groups of people you spend their time with who really care about you, love you in the good and the bad and the ugly and the crying and the celebrating, that they're with you at all seasons of life. So we have to be this community that fights fake and runs towards real, even though it's difficult. You know what happens, though, when you're able to do that? There's this lost art in the church, I think, that we don't talk about. And as soon as I say the word, we think of it in a negative way, but it's not negative. There's this idea of confession. So it says this in James. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Now, I'm not saying everybody get up here and tell us all the things you do wrong. I'm not telling you that at all, right? But confess your sins to each other. The people that you've grown with, the people that have sharpened you, the people you're real with, talk to them. And pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What if we were a community that says, hey, listen, when you're struggling, you don't need to tell everybody, but you got to tell somebody. You got to tell your brother or your sister who loves you, wants the best for you. Like, listen, hey, man, I'm struggling with this. What if they could do that and we're like, hey, and we don't kick them out. We don't vote them off the island, right? We're like, man, I'm so sorry. Let me help you. Hey, I'm struggling with this. I need your help. But hey, let me, I love you. I'm going to be there with you. Because when you confess what's going on, when you confess what you're struggling with, you name it. When you name your struggles, guess what? It's much easier to overcome them. But when you keep it inside, keep it pressed down, pressed down, pressed down, it continues to eat away. But what if we were commuting? We can be honest with each other and say, hey, listen, I struggle with this. I'm struggling with this, this, and this. Not to everybody, but to people that you have grown to be in community with. So you can be healed, so you can pray for each other. Confession is a good thing. It's how we grow, and it's how we learn. And we need people in our life that we can be honest and real with. And what better place than to do this besides our families than this community? I heard this before, that we may impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses. We're going to be a church that walks with a limp because we let people know our weaknesses. We let them know we're not perfect, we're not trying to be. And you don't have to be either. We're going to build relationships. Because this is what happens when relations build, and we're going to encourage one another, confess sometimes, because we love each other. Final thing a community of one heart does is realize that community is safer together. So I didn't know this because I've never been on a safari. Anybody ever been on a safari? One of you, right? I need to hang out with you more. Lucas, right? You've been on a safari. So we got some people who've been in safaris, but I guess like in a safari, they tell you, stay together, stay in the truck. Don't be wandering off because there's lions out there. You know what lions do when they hunt? Lions try to isolate their prey. So they'll see a whole herd of some crazy four-legged animal, right? And they will try to isolate it. I always think back of Mufasa and Lion King, right? The hyenas. They're trying to isolate it. They'll isolate the prey because when it's away from the group, it's weaker. Well, it's interesting that Peter, in one of his letters to a group of Christians, he says, be alert and sober-minded because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. That you have an enemy who wants to devour you. You have an enemy who wants to derail you. And what he wants to do is separate you and isolate you from the community. Because when you're isolated, you're weaker. But when you're together, when you're with people who are helping you grow, help sharpening you, that you're real with, that you're confessing with, you know what? You're a lot stronger, a lot harder to take down. Community is where our safety is. Safety is in numbers. So let's recap this real quick. A community that grows together, that sharpens each other, where you don't have to wear a mask, and that is safer together. That is a community of one heart. That is what we're trying to be. So here's the application. There's two different points of application. One, if you're here for the first time, or you're visiting, or you're checking us out, and you're unsure, and this is what we want to be. We don't always get it right, but we want you to know this, that here you matter. We believe that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And this is the type of community we're trying to be, the type of community that Jesus calls us to. But maybe you're here. You know, I've been going here for a while. This is what I call home. This is where I call home. Here's my encouragement to you. Don't just attend. Belong to the community. Be involved in it. Don't just attend. Don't just come here and check a box, but get to know the people you sit with. Get to know the people who work here. Get to know the people who attend here. Get to know someone you can grow with, that can sharpen you, that can make you better, that you can be real with. Don't just attend. Belong to the community. And here's why this matters. Every successful team, organization, company, church, has something called True North. Just like a compass has a True North. Teams, every year, they have the True North. They want to win the championship. Every organization has a True North. And our True North is not church attendance. It's not to grow a building. It's none of that. That's not why any of this matters. Our True North is Jesus. And every day we wake up, as followers of Jesus, we're heading in that direction. That True North keeps us on track. But as a community, we're also heading that True North. And you never know who might need you in this community. I never knew I needed this community until I needed it. I never knew I needed men in my life or people who could teach me about Jesus until I needed it. You never know who needs your story, your talents, your background, your skill set, your love in this community. And as a community, here's what we're going to do. Not just grow a big building. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to build a brand of revolution. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to head true north. To Jesus. We wake up every day, we gather every Sunday, and we head to that true north. And as a community of one heart, we bring as many people with us as we possibly can. Because we believe that Jesus is the answer to your pain, to your suffering, to your isolation. We believe Jesus is the answer and the only hope in this world. So we're going to be a community that heads in true north. Not perfectly, not always right at times, but one heart heading to the true north, Jesus. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that you call us to be a community that loves you and knows what it means to be loved by you. God, you're doing something in this world right now. You're doing something through Generation Z and the next generation. I feel it. We see it on campuses across the nation, God, but we pray that you move in our hearts here. God, we know you're not done working in Cass County and the county surrounding. You're not done working in Logansport. You're not done working in Revolution. You're not done working in us. So God, we pray you continue to work in us. Help us be the community that you have called us to be. Because we believe when this is the community Jesus calls us to be, it's a place where people want to be. God, because it's a place where they find you. And any place where we find you is a place we need to be. God, so we're going to continue to praise and worship you today. We want to thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.